Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20, and we'll be reading from verses 19 to the end. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 881. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Such a joy to be with you. Still have enough patience for a sermon, as long as it's not long and boring, right? Yes, as Anna said, thanks to the Forward family for supporting us, for praying for us. Thank you for your giving for missions. God bless you. And I just wanted to acknowledge some special friends here today, the Alfreds, wonderful Christian business people who've helped us so much, and the Hannah family. Really nice that you're there. Well, I'd like to start with something funny. So why did the king go to the dentist? Does anyone know? He needed a new crown. Now, our Lord Jesus, on the other hand, he never needs a new crown, because as we heard in the pastoral prayer, he's eternal and blessed forever, and the good news is he's with us today. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that today is Sunday. We celebrate your resurrection, that you are alive and in our midst. And by your grace, we can be a part of what you're doing in the world today and in your church. Help us, Lord, we pray. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to ask the question, do you have a favorite passage in the Bible? A verse that helps you, a promise that encourages you, or maybe a word that gives you some hope. A favorite verse of mine is found in Mark 11 and verse 22, and it says, "Have faith in God." So that's a good one, isn't it? Whenever I face a challenge or feel unsure of myself, like this week when I lost my laptop computer, this verse helps me. Have faith in God. It helps me to get through. Now, one reason we come to church is to learn the Bible. So can we say this verse together? Have faith in God. Now, say it like you mean it. Have faith in God. Amen. So now we want to move on and read the passage where that's found. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, you will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you asked when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So in this passage, Jesus is calling us and inviting us to trust in God and to believe in God, have faith in God. And what is the motivation? Jesus gives us a really strong picture of what faith can do. Faith can move mountains. And that stands for the simple truth that through faith in God, he can move that mountain or an obstacle, even a big obstacle. Answer a prayer, change a situation, give blessings. And so faith in God makes a difference. Now, where does faith start? I became a Christian a number of years ago at a rescue mission. Most of us know what a mission is, a rescue mission, and that was down in Florida. I was going through a rough phase in my life. I was 21 years old at the time. So I was down and out at that mission, living a life that I'm not proud of, but that's where Jesus found me. And after I became a Christian, the first verses we learned were Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And I can still see them written on the chalkboard at the mission because they wanted us to learn the verses. For by grace you are saved through faith. So in other words, when you come to the conviction, as I did at that mission, that the message of the Bible is true, yes, God loves me, and Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose again, and when you're willing to say yes to Jesus and put your trust in him for salvation, that's where faith starts, sometimes called the sinner's prayer or a prayer of commitment to Christ. And if you have not done so already and are here today, I invite you to say yes to Jesus and to make him the Lord of your life. So exciting, isn't it, to become a Christian, a child of God, and all the joy and blessings that go along with that, being a Christian. But after beginning a new life as a Christian by faith, God expects us, as his children, to grow in faith and to live by faith. So that's a basic principle of the Christian life that's found in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's a warning there. You know, unbelief and hard-heartedness is a terrible thing because it keeps people out of heaven. That's Revelation 21 and verse 8. And for us as Christians, unbelief and doubting God can hinder the blessings that God intended for us. But on the other hand, and that's what I want to encourage you with, and that's what this verse is teaching us, you can please God and honor God by taking him at his word and by living by faith. So that's the promise from Hebrews 11 and verse 6. God rewards faith. God honors faith. God blesses faith. And as missionaries, we want to give some testimony. As you step out in faith, you will receive blessings from God. Following our outline, we've listed three areas where we can practice our faith in God. And the first point is, we have faith in God's leading. And that's so important for us as Christians and missionaries. Now, Psalm 23 is familiar. The Lord is my shepherd. And when Jesus is our good shepherd, then there's a whole list of blessings that we can enjoy. And one of them is, verse 2, he leads me. And verse 3, he guides me. And looking at it the other way around, he keeps me from making wrong turns. Now back to my testimony. After I got saved at this mission down in Florida from a messed up life, I had to figure out what the next steps would be. Bob, the director of the mission down there, would encourage me And he would say, Aaron, God will get you in the right place. As you trust in him and seek his will, he will get you in the right place. In other words, God has a plan. And for me, that meant moving from Florida to Ohio, and I attended Cedarville, a Christian college, in order to prepare for ministry. And that's where Anna and I met. And then after graduating from college, my visa ran out, so I came back to Toronto and was part of the Forward family for a while. And Eleanor, Hannah and I were together on staff, so we had a good time serving God together here at Forward. And then after that, we went out as a family to serve God in Anna's home country of Germany. And so God has a plan. Now, sometimes we have to wait on God until he shows us and makes it clear what the next step should be. I take some comfort in the fact that even the missionaries in the book of Acts had a hard time understanding what the next step should be. And you'll remember that from your series in the book of Acts, chapter 16. The missionaries desired to go to a certain area and preach the gospel there. But two times, the doors were closed. They had to wait on God. And finally, they had a vision from God and understood where they should go to preach the gospel. Now, we had a similar experience like that our last term of service. We spent a number of years in East Berlin together with other Christians helping to start a church there. But eventually, they could call their own pastor and had German leadership. Praise the Lord, so they could continue on their own. So our task came to an end, and people would ask us, what are you going to do next? I would say, boy, I don't know. We haven't got it figured out yet. We desired to serve God in the east of Germany. That's where they lived under communism and taught people not to believe in God and not to go to church, which was pretty nasty. So we could see the needs there. And we heard about a small Baptist church in the province of Saxony. We even visited the church, and we thought this would be a good church to partner with and help them with their outreach and with their witness. But then I had difficulty praying about it. I felt numb and kind of paralyzed. Have you ever had that experience? You pray about something, and you just can't get peace. And so God has a way of getting his point across, and we said, okay, God, I guess you don't want us to go there. But as we continued to pray and did our survey work, some doors really opened up for us in a city called Halle in the eastern part of Germany. We found out about a small mission there that I could volunteer at, and the soup kitchen project that you saw in the pictures, and a neighborhood kids club. And because we have a heart for compassion ministries and reaching out to the hurting and the needy, we definitely wanted to go to Halle. But I want to warn you, when you desire to step out in faith and do something for God, the devil will come and try and talk you out of it. He will bring those doubts and negative thoughts into your mind. Aaron, you're moving to a new city. What if you fail? What if nothing happens? And so we need to defend ourselves in Jesus' name and say, well, at least I'm being obedient and trying to follow God's will. Well, we decided to move to the city of Halle, not really knowing anyone there, but God really blessed that step of faith. And so over a period of time, a Sunday fellowship could be established right in the soup kitchen with a program of songs, a gospel challenge, and a community dinner with 40 to 60 people attending. And it was so exciting looking back, seeing people in that soup kitchen project coming to faith in Christ and professing that faith in Christ in a baptismal service. And so looking back, we can say God led us there because there were definitely people in that city that needed to hear the gospel. So we have faith in God's leading. And I want to encourage you, God has a plan for your life, and as you seek God's will, and trust in Him. As my friend at the mission said, God will get you in the right place. So we have faith in God's leading. And point number two, we have faith in the power of the gospel. So there we have Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So we're talking about faith this morning, and our faith is not in ourselves, but our faith is in God. And our faith is not in our methods, but our faith is in our message. So it says the gospel is the power of God, which means the gospel is not a normal message, but a supernatural message, life-changing and has saving power. And so like the Christians in the book of Acts who went everywhere preaching the gospel, and you probably discovered that in going through Acts, Jesus was always at the center of their message. And so when God led us to Hala, that was our goal, to bring the love of God and the message of Jesus to an area, to an unreached area, and to the people there. And so we started a Sunday fellowship, as I said, in the soup kitchen, and I wanted to talk about that, because in a normal evangelical church on Sunday morning, most of the people that come are already Christians. And of course, we're thankful when guests are and visitors come, everyone is welcome, but most are usually believers. But in our soup kitchen fellowship, it's just the other way around. Most of the people who come to our Sunday meeting do not have any church background. And so sometimes we have opposition. Sometimes people come in who disrupt the meeting or who are restless and get up and move around or fiddling with their handies or have been drinking. And so it's a fight to keep their attention, and we have to keep our message short. And what do? We preach each week the ABCs of the gospel, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And it's interesting because as you preach the gospel each week to a group of unbelievers, after a while, it starts to take effect on them, and it starts to work in their lives. And soon the first ones are coming, and they have some questions, or they want to take a Bible, or a testimony book, or some will come to us and say, I'm praying now. And then, as you're moving along, but maybe you feel like you're stuck, there's another way to beat the devil. So how can you beat the devil? Well, by praying in Jesus' name, but also, you can invite an evangelist. And not only an evangelist, but a hot evangelist, someone who really has fire. And so we invited our friend from Berlin, and he came into our soup kitchen, and he preached the gospel so simply, in a friendly manner, and made it clear to the people, and then he invited them to come to Christ. And people came forward and were making decisions for Jesus. And that's the power of the gospel working in their lives. And soon after that, we had the baptismal service, and so we praise God that He is working. And I wanted to encourage you with that. We have faith in our message, because sometimes we think people are so stuck in their sins, they'll never get saved, and they're stubborn. And so I just wanted to remind you, do you remember what? Do you remember the old gospel song? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And so our message has power. Jesus has the power to save, to cleanse from sin, to transform lives, and to give us eternal life. And so I want to encourage you with that. We have faith in our message. And we personally experienced that moving to a new city and going there and not knowing anyone and preaching the gospel and seeing people get saved and baptized. So we have faith in our message. And coming to our last point, we have faith in the promises of God. We had a wonderful promise right in our text this morning, and that was verse 24, chapter 11, verse 24 on prayer. And that's why we pray, isn't it? We believe God's word is always true, and God is completely faithful. We believe in the promises of God. We believe that God hears and answers prayer. One time over there in Europe, we were taking a trip to the country of Wales and visited a Bible school there. And in front of this Bible school, there was a pillar. And in front of it, on this pillar, there was an inscription. And it said, "Faith is substance." And on the back, it said, "Jehovah Jireh, God provides." Faith is substance. It's like a foundation. And they could build their Bible school on that. God is faithful, and God provides. And so faith is substance. We need that foundation to build on. Faith in God, in the attributes of God, in the character of God, and the promises of God. And we can build on that foundation because our faith will be tested. You probably had that in the book of Acts, where God was calling people, and so they had to be willing to let go and to give up their security and follow God's leading, to step out in faith. So faith involves taking risks. Hopefully they're wise risks, but faith is substance, so we can build on our foundation in God. And I wanted to share again some testimony with you. Last year, while we were still on the mission field, I came up with an idea. Maybe it was an inspiration. But I thought, wouldn't it be great to take some of our friends and our guests from the soup kitchen and from the mission who are low income, to take them on a nice outing to a camp or to a retreat. And we found this nice Christian guest house in the Harz Mountains. And then we told our friends about it, and they said, "That's a great idea. We never get out of the city. We never get out of these apartment blocks." And so we were excited about taking them on a retreat. But then it hit us, how are we going to pay for it? They're low income. Some are on welfare, some of them have debt, and so we thought about the promises of God. And we put it in our newsletter, and then so many donations came in that we could pay for the camp for a 3-day retreat. We could pay for it completely. And some of the folks here at Forward gave to that, so thank you for that. God bless you. And we could take them for a nice outing. They participated so well on this Christian retreat for 3 days. And then some of them really opened up, and after that, the first ones became Christians. But God, we stepped out in faith and took them on this to this camp and to this retreat, and God provided for us. He provided for us completely. So that was one testimony. And then last year, around this time, well, it was actually in July, I came up with another idea. Now, sometimes my wife, Anna, gets nervous when I come up with an idea. But I had the idea because in the month of July last year, while we were in Germany, we decided to take a break from our compassion ministries. It's kind of strenuous. So in the month of July, we had no services. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great, like in the old days, to try a bus ministry? And so I told our friends in the soup kitchen, I'm going to borrow a 9-seater van. And I'm going to come Sunday morning, and I'm going to park this van right in front of the soup kitchen. And anyone who wants to come to church with us will go over to the Baptist church in our city of Halle. You can just get in this van, and we'll drive over there, and we'll have a great time at the service. Well, during the week, it was July, and it started to get hot. It started to get really hot. And a few people called me up and said, "Aaron, it's way too hot, and it's too much bother. I'm not coming." And then I got to thinking, these people in our soup kitchen, they're not church-going people. And so all of a sudden, I have to be honest, my faith was wavering. But Sunday morning came, and so we had a 9-seater van, and there were not 9 people in front of the soup kitchen, but 13. And so 4 had to come on the streetcar. And so we went to church that day, the Baptist church, and I could fill in for the pastor, and they really made us feel welcome. And we had a time of fellowship afterwards, so we got blessed. That was the first time we did a bus ministry, and God was blessing that step of faith. But the story doesn't end there. The next time we tried a bus ministry, we didn't have one van, but we had three vans. And that was the day of the baptism in January, and there were about 30 people who wanted to come to the baptismal service. And so we piled into the vans, we went over to the Baptist church, and those were the ones who wanted to profess their faith in Christ. So we had a joyous baptismal service. But God was not only blessing our faith, He was increasing our faith. And so that's our challenge for today. And as we come to an end, I wanted to ask the question, how is your faith today? Are we maybe worrying too much and trusting God too little? I heard a good saying. Someone said, probably heard it, replace fear with faith. I had to go through that this week. As I said, I lost my laptop computer, and I was discouraged, but I wasn't defeated. And so God doesn't promise to keep us out of the fire of trials, but He's with us in those trials, and He goes through it with us and gets us to the other side. So have faith in God. So when facing a challenge, try saying a new habit, I trust you, Jesus. Can we say that together this morning? I trust you, Jesus. And the good thing is, we can, like the disciples, we can ask God to increase our faith, or to multiply our faith, or to strengthen our faith. And so maybe we're still not getting it. So what is faith again? I want to close with that, with the thought, what is faith? Faith is getting our eyes off ourselves. We tend to be selfish and focus on ourselves and on our problems, and it means getting our eyes on Jesus and focusing on this wonderful person, on His power and greatness, and the promises in His Word. So faith means getting our focus on Jesus. And the more we focus on Jesus, the greater our faith will become. So that's our challenge for today. Have faith in God. And remember how we started out? Faith can make a difference. Faith can move mountains, remove obstacles. We can see God answer prayer. Through faith, we can see someone saved. We can experience how God helps us in a sickness. Through faith in God, some will even experience miracles. In any case, through faith in God, we will receive blessings. And then we give Jesus all the praise. And don't forget, we serve a good God. Psalm 118, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So thank you for listening this morning, and God bless you.